Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. Today's edition of On the Trail is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or you can give them a call, 515-282-7603. Check them out online at heartlandflags.com. They're always going to have the lowest price on pretty much any kind of flag that you could ever want. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Adam, but they shot back at the guy that wanted the coupon codes.
They said the prices are already...
Yeah, the prices are already too low. We don't need coupon codes.
I agree with them. I agree. No, stop in, see them, check out their website. They have some fantastic flags. They have some, like I said, too, they have some new signs there when I was in their office the other day. Those 10 signs that you can put in your basement, I got to pick me up a couple of those, put them down by my bar. Right now, I have just Budweiser and Bud Light. I don't know if that's really a good thing to have down there with kids, but...
Where's your Busch Light one?
I don't have a Busch Light one. I haven't come across one. If you see a Busch Light one, you pass it on to me. You let me know. I'll get it.
There's going to be a Busch Light Super Bowl commercial.
Is there?
Well, it's like Busch beer, but Busch Light is in the commercial as well. I saw it the other day.
That's exciting for you.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a big 30 seconds.
What are you doing for the Super Bowl?
Sitting at home watching it.
Not anything too exciting?
No.
You want to come down to my place and watch it?
No.
Okay, good talk. Jeez. Didn't even have to think about that one. Well, so yesterday was a fun day.
Yeah, no kidding.
National signing day. Busy day for you. What time did you get up?
6:45.
So for you, 6:45 is like 3:30 for most other human beings. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. I probably should have been awake even earlier, but I did not wake up in time.
Who was the first sign?
They announced all those guys that signed financial aid agreements as transfers, and then I think Dan Sichterman
was he before you woke up?
Yeah.
He was. He beat you.
Him and O.J. Tucker were both before I woke up.
So these guys showered, got dressed, got to school, signed, and faxed.
They both live on the East Coast, though.
I mean, still, before you could even roll out of bed.
6:45 in the morning. I'm not mad about it.
So you were up there. You were at Campbell's press conference. Then obviously you talked to a couple people afterwards. What one thing stood out to you yesterday?
One thing that stood out to me. I don't know. I think the thing that I don't know.
Well, I just watched the press conference on Cyclones.com. Yeah. The one thing that stood out to me, and there's a lot of things. First off, I think Campbell's phenomenal in that setting. I think he does a really good job.
Yeah.
When he first got the job at Iowa State and he came and had his press conference, right away I was sold on this guy. I thought he could sell the program, and we're seeing that too with the last two recruiting classes. But when he got up there and talked about Matt Eaton, I mean, to me, that stood out. And and obviously, whenever wide receivers or running backs or quarterbacks get talked about, I think fans typically get a little bit more excited because they can see the production that these guys put forth in the field, where it's a little bit more difficult when you're talking about like an offensive lineman or even a defensive lineman. But, he flat out said this guy is a legit number two, maybe even a number one, and he can help take pressure off Allen Lazard. And I think he said both Golish and I forget the other assistant that went down. Brian Gasser went down there and said, this kid's a difference maker.
And then he said that Brian Gasser doesn't say nice things about anybody.
I laughed.
Yeah.
Was there any giggling going on there? The media, I didn't hear any laughter. I thought he was trying to make a good joke, and you guys were just stone cold.
No, we don't like comedy.
Yeah.
We are a very serious group.
When I read some of your guys' writings, I find it comedic.
Yeah, because we write funny things.
Anyway, but no, that, I mean...
Coming from the guy that won't even write a blog when I tell him to.
Nope, I'm not a writer, buddy. I know my strengths. Actually, I don't know my strengths. I just know my weaknesses. But that's promising because I think anybody looking at next year already was pretty excited for a wide receiver. You know, the mm-hmm. core that we had come back with Lazard, Jones, and a couple of the other guys. You added Eaton on there, who they say is a difference maker on top of that. In part, coming back for another year, this Iowa State's passing game could be pretty damn good next year.
Not just next year, but even the year after that.
Yeah.
Eaton's going to have 2 years. I mean, then you'll still have Hakeem Butler and
Jones.
Carson Epps, Deshaunte Jones.
Johnson.
Jalen Martin, Josh Johnson.
So I know we've been talking about Jalen Martin. Everyone, they liked him a lot. But now you got Eaton coming in and you got Josh Johnson. Is Jalen Martin going to be one of those guys that we just kind of see almost in the Carson Epps role where maybe he just plays a little bit here or there but never quite gets over the hump? Or what do you think? It's really.
I know he's got.
Early.
He's still got. Yeah, quite 4 years. A while to play. Because even at that point, he'll still only be a redshirt sophomore.
Yep.
You know.
I know. It's a good problem to have. And the competition, like Campbell said, they want to have competition where they make guys compete.
Yeah.
And it's going to make everyone better. But that was the one thing that stood out to me.
Like, with these guys. Well, and then you think. Don't even think about Chase Allen. Like, he'll be out there trying to catch passes too. And they're going to have so many guys that are, like, dynamic playmakers.
Yeah.
That you have to stand out if you want the ball to come to you. You know? Like, that, you're going to have to work hard, because if you want to even get the ball, like, you have to prove that you're worthy of that. You're not just going to get it because there's nobody else that can get it.
Correct.
You know?
Park, hopefully he doesn't do this.
It's the same way at running back.
Yeah. He will be able to go back, and he won't have to say, I got to throw the ball to Lazard here.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 7. I got to throw it to him. He's going to have options. And it's, you know, reading and seeing the defense, and there are going to be guys that are going to be getting open, and they have good size. I mean, you look at everyone, Eaton, Lazard, Chase Allen, those guys all are huge targets. Mm-hmm. Iowa State typically hasn't had before in the past. And most of them can run. I mean, Eaton, you watch him. That kid can run. He's not a 6'4 guy who's slow. He's not like a Marquise Hamilton, who Iowa State had in the past, who was a good wide receiver, but he wasn't beating anyone downfield. Eaton, I think, can blow the top off some defenses.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's going to be a really good player. Another one that struck me when he was talking about him was Orion Vance.
Yeah.
He said some pretty good stuff about him, too, with, kind of just saying that there would have been more people on him if there wouldn't have been some of the academic questions that we've talked about here previously.
I talked to a guy last week who was a high school coach in the area. He said he talked to some guys out in the eastern part of the state who said they're not sure how Iowa State got an Orion Vance, because that kid is a legitimate top-level play anywhere in the country type offense, or linebacker, which – man, you hear stuff like that, and I'm not trying to talk the kid up too much before he even plays it down in Iowa State, but that's exciting, especially at a position that's been so poor for Iowa State since A.J. Klein and Jake Knott left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Iowa State, it needs some good linebackers, and it looked like they did a pretty good job with both him and Hummel coming in next year.
I'm interested to see how he can see the field soon, you know? Since they only play those two linebackers, like, I'm interested to see what kind of role they put him in.
Yeah.
Because I think he's good enough to see it in the field. If not this year, then definitely next year.
Well, they can almost even bring him in kind of in the, you know, depending on how different they want to get it, almost in that Leo position, just full, but off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Bring him out a little bit, kind of like what the Packers used to do with Clay Matthews, and just say, go get the quarterback.
Right. I like the way they've got some of these guys are just like hybrids,
mm-hmm.
you know, even like a Cordarius Bailey.
Jaquan Bailey,
too. He's not like a put his hand on the ground, I'm going to like try and swim move you, like type pass rusher.
He's more so just because he's a little bit big. He's bigger. He's thicker, you know. But, yeah, he's versatile as well.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm excited, and I feel even more comfortable with my prediction from last week where I said Iowa State will have the best offense we've ever seen.
Did you see my list of guys that that I've heard are going to have a chance to play early?
Yes.
It's pretty much what we've talked about before. But
the one name that stood out that was a little bit surprising was Angel Dominguez.
Yeah.
Not because I think we both thought he was a good recruit, but this is a kid who's coming off an ACL.
The more I think about it, I feel like he's going to redshirt this year, and then he'll have a chance to play next year.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
Which is a redshirt freshman, that's still pretty good.
That's still, yeah.
But he's like, he was listed as 282. When Iowa State tweeted out his signing.
And he will play in the inside.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, people keep kind of maybe listening to defensive end. He'll be a defensive tackle. That's what he'll grow into. I'm excited about him.
I was looking at this last night, and I just like the frame that they have of all their guys on the defensive line. I feel like all of them have good frames to put on, like, you know, some pounds.
I agree.
And be pretty big dudes. Dan Sichterman's the smallest one, and I was like, okay, even if they put 20 pounds on him, he's like 6'3", 255, you know. That's still pretty big.
That's still pretty big, yeah. That's good size. I'm looking here, too, and this recruiting class ended up being one of the top classes in Iowa State history. And I don't know about you, the guys that I think, though, that are the biggest what make this class really are the JUCO guys and the grad transfers. That's what make this class special. And the grad transfers don't count towards the ratings.
Did JUCO guys count towards the ratings?
Yeah, JUCO kids do. But the grad transfers don't. Even right. though the grad transfers would have been the highest, you know.
I wonder how that would have changed their composite rating if those guys would have counted.
Well, see, that's tough because those guys were, you know, top 100, 150 kids out of high school. I mean, it would shoot them up big time, but you can't take that from them 4 years later.
Right.
But it's the same thing when Iowa State would get, let's say, like a DeAndre Kane in basketball. That doesn't go towards their Iowa State's recruiting rankings, but that's like getting a five-star.
Yeah.
I mean, getting DeAndre Kane to come in for 1 year. There's not one high school kid in the country that comes in and has a bigger impact than DeAndre Kane did. So
right.
he's essentially a five-star recruit that you just got. I'm not saying that's with Dawson or Rogers. It remains to be seen, but I think it's safe to say, you know, he's got some four-stars.
It sounds like this Rogers guy is a dog.
Is
yeah.
a dude.
It sounds like he's pissed off, too.
Good.
After what happened at USC.
Good. That's it. You want that chip on their shoulder, right?
Yeah.
And Campbell's made a good point, and it's the same thing Hoiberg had too. When these guys come in here, it's kind of like their last chance, right, to make mm-hmm. an impact, to make a difference, to stand out a little bit. So you're going to get their focus. They're not going to mess around at all. And those are the kind of guys you got to get in here. And I think we'll be done on the offensive line this year as far as grad transfers. You think that they still might be going after a cornerback?
Yeah, I think that's what I've heard previously is that they'll be
in the market for
that. Yeah, at least examining the options.
Yep. But I want.
There's gonna have to be more attrition, don't they? Have more, they're over on scholarships right now.
They're four over last I checked.
Yeah. So there's got to be more guys that are gonna leave after spring ball.
Yep. So four guys.
It's crazy. Spring ball starts in 3 weeks. 3 weeks from yesterday.
Wow. It's exciting.
No. 4 weeks from yesterday.
So, but as far as people that will be in here that have already signed, we'll see Bowens and we'll see Lima. Anyone else that'll be here for spring ball?
Because I don't think
Matt Eaton, yep, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was there.
And that's it.
Because Leo's not on campus yet.
No.
Okay.
Neither is Tagamoa.
And Tagamoa's not either. And the two grad transfers, Dawson and Rogers, won't be here till summer.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. But those, I mean, that to me, the biggest gets here are the two JUCO defensive tackles and then Leo and then getting those two offensive linemen.
The more and more I think about it, the more and more I feel like Richard Bowens is going to be on the field next year somewhere.
Well, I mean, let's look at the cornerbacks right now. Vic Holmes, who hasn't played at all. Ruth, who I think they actually put at safety a lot.
Yeah.
So right now we got Vic Holmes, Brian Peavy, DeAndre Payne, Pickett Brown, Azuna, and then in Richard Bowens. So, I mean, all he has to do is beat out two of those guys, and he's going to be he'll be in the top, in the two deeps. I bet he will be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I say, he's a 6-foot kid with speed.
I mean, Arnold Azuna beat out those guys last year, you know.
The Pickett Brown and the Vic Holmes.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're not going to speculate, too, on who's going to be gone here, but I think if you kind of go through the scholarship chart and you look at some of these players that have been on campus for two, three, four years and they haven't played, it would not surprise me to see them be the attrition. When do they have to leave by? Would it be May?
I'd have to think so. Before the start of fall camp, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Do you want to move on to 2018? Just kind of do a quick rundown as far as what we're probably looking at for each position.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we've talked about some of these guys so much. Now it's like we have to start all over.
Time to move on. Time to... You know, we had a good run. It's like you recruit them, you talk about them all the time, and then after that, just get to work, boys.
Now we won't talk about them for 3 years.
Unless they do something good in a game, and we'll bring them up again. But, yeah.
Unless they do something good when they're underclassmen. Otherwise, we'll talk about you guys in 2020.
Well, here, start a fall camp. What we'll probably do is we'll rank the recruits, just like we did for the 2016 class.
Yeah.
And then we'll follow up every year and say how good or bad we did.
Yeah.
So this year we're going to have 17 seniors. Not a lot of seniors that will be leaving after the next year. There obviously will be some attrition. I'm guessing 21 recruits is what we'll sign for the next year. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So with that said, let's start at quarterback.
That's not including more attrition too.
But that to me, that is counting more attrition because 17 right now, there has to be more attrition even get to the – because right now we're at 89 scholarships if I'm looking at it correct. You got to be at 85. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there'll be some attrition there, but even going past that, there's 17 seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So right now that would be only 17 spots, but I think there'll be even more attrition.
Yeah, okay. That was my bad. I wasn't really listening to you.
And that always has a way of working itself out. So 17 to, I would say 18 to 21, 22, somewhere around there. It won't be as big of a class as we've had the last 2 years.
For sure.
Okay, so start at quarterback. How many guys do you think we sign for next year, 2018?
Cornerback.
Quarterback.
Oh, just one.
One. I'm of the opinion you got to sign one every year.
Yeah.
Joel Lanning will be gone. So Park will be a senior coming in. Zeb Nolan will be a redshirt sophomore, and Moore will be a redshirt freshman. We're assuming he's going to redshirt this year.
I would say if they like one more quarterback, and they'll pretty much have that quarterback room rebuilt for the most part, you know.
And think about how bad it was when they got here.
Yeah.
Grant Rohatch, and Grant might have transferred before they got here, right? Dom DeLira.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lanning. That was it. That's who they had. And now you look at it, Park, who I think's a stud. You still have Lanning, Zeb Nolan, and Moore. I mean, they've really done.
Forgot Kyle Starcevich.
Okay, Kyle Stark. Are we going to name every walk-on here? Jeez.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right, so we're both in the agreement that in 2018 they're going to go after one quarterback.
Yeah.
Any clue on who their top guy is on the board right now?
Well, there's that one guy you fell in love with from Ohio. I can't remember.
Brennan Armstrong?
Yeah.
I like Brennan Armstrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, not – is he the one I fell in love with? Because he's not that tall. I like tall quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's the one guy. That was what I'm saying. There's the one guy that you kept calling me about. You're like, have you found out about this guy?
I don't remember that. It sounds like something I do, though.
Yeah. he's tall. He's like 6'3". I love those tall quarterbacks.
I do, man. I love tall quarterbacks. I'm tired of seeing the just 6-foot quarterbacks play at Iowa State. 6'1". 6'2 is right in my cutoff.
Is that what you're going to say? Well, how tall is Jacob Park?
6'4".
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if I was Williams right now, I'd do the whole daddy like, but I'm not, and I'm not creepy like
you
he is.
You said it anyway. So.
Nah, just, you know, throwing him under the bus. Running backs, Iowa State signed zero this year. I think they're definitely taking one next year, and it wouldn't surprise me if they took two.
I could see that.
I'm guessing just one, though.
Yeah.
Because right now they have Mike Warren, Crony, Montgomery, and Kinne. So that they have four guys, three of which have played a lot, are very capable. So I understand why they didn't take a running back this year, unless it was a stud. Mm-hmm. And I think next year, right now, the guy probably on the top of their list is Sabian Clark.
Yeah, for sure.
Running back out of Sioux City.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's already run for like 3,000 yards as a junior.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's not CIML level competition. Get him down here, play with the big boys, and we'll see. I'm taking a shot at Sioux City. Nothing to do with Sabian. Come to Iowa State, Sabian. And then wide receiver. So next year we lose Brandon Harris, Lazard, Marchie Murdoch, and Trevor Ryan, losing four guys. I don't think they refill it with four guys. I think they refill it with three. I think three wide receivers next year.
I can see that too.
They're losing three guys.
Based on the number of, like, the kind of people they've been offering as well.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yep. Trevor Ryan and Lazard will be big losses.
Mm-hmm.
Murdoch played a little bit last
year. Luckily, they like we just were talking about, though, they've got some guys coming up that are okay.
Yep. Eaton, Butler, Jones.
What's the last position that Iowa State had that you looked at it and it's like, how, like, I'm not even almost sure that they can get all these guys enough touches, you know?
You know what, though? Here's the thing. There's been a lot of times where I've looked at our wide receiver core and I've thought, man, they're going to be really good. And they haven't. They sucked. But I don't think that's going to be the case next year.
I thought that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When, like, Quentin Bundridge was me a senior.
Yeah. But Bundridge's problem with him was that injury he had before the start of that 1 year.
But I'm just saying that those guys on paper were not near as good as what they've got now, you know?
No, Bundridge to me was a legit dude if he didn't have that injury.
Yeah.
He was legit.
But still, like, they had Bundridge and a young Alan Lazard. And who else?
Dondre Daly.
And a young Dondre Daly, yeah. Junior year Dondre Daly.
Yeah, they had a couple other guys. Yeah.
Trevor Ryan. Trevor, emerging.
Yep. I'm trying to think of anyone else.
And he was playing running back.
He was. I like Trevor Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a guy you can rely on. I mean, put out there all the time, but as far as certain packages and certain things he can do, I like him a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. This receiving core is as good as it's been.
Who's a D Johnson, a wide receiver? D Johnson. I'm looking right now at
Denver Johnson.
Oh, Denver Johnson. Yeah, there we go.
He tore his ACL.
Before he got
before
here.
Before Was it before he got here?
Or either that.
It was
or
like
right
after redshirt freshman year or something.
Yeah. So right.
Or his redshirt year.
He's Carson Epps's they're cousins, I believe. Yeah. Who Carson Epps are, and so he's a redshirt.
I've heard before that he's a pretty good player.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was a good recruit for Iowa State when they got him. Yeah. And he's got good size. He's 6'3", 210.
Yeah.
So
there's just another guy.
Yep. They have some good size there, but I still think they go after they get three guys. And I don't think they need to go after unless there's another Matt Eaton out there
you want
that
me,
they love.
You want me to call my shot here?
Yeah.
I think if they get a guy that's like a what we would consider a big fish,
yeah,
this would be a position where they could do it.
Yeah, because they're selling.
Yeah.
They're selling, hey, Lazard's gone. You could come in and be one of the guys next year.
Yeah.
I get that. Okay.
And we're kind of loaded, so like come be the next piece, you know.
This is a very interesting position now, next tight end. And it's interesting because
I'd say they're going to take one tight end in the same mold of the guys they've taken recently to keep. I mean, that position was pretty.
There was no one there.
Yeah, there was nobody there.
Nobody.
They're still trying to build that room back up.
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at it next year. Right now they have Anderson and Sienbacher. They're not tight ends.
No.
They're not. They're essentially fullbacks.
But they're going to keep trying to get Chase Allen, Charlie Kolar type guys, I think.
Yeah, but here's my question. So Chase Allen, Sonar, and Kolar, none of them have played a down in Big 12. They're the three scholarship tight ends going into next year. Do they go out and try to get a JUCO guy? I mean, they obviously like Chase Allen, or do they just say, hey, we feel comfortable with this. These guys, we're going to just build it up, and we'll have these guys be the starting tight ends for 4 years.
I'd say you can almost try and wait and see how they do.
You could.
Like with Chase, see how he performs early in the season, and then you kind of can gauge whether or not we're like, okay, we need somebody that can come in and play right away.
Is Kolar a guy that can play right away?
No, I don't think so. He'll probably at least redshirt.
Because Iowa State still has Sam Harms back, right?
Yeah.
And he played last year, and so they can put him in. And Dalen Soner, I guess, can play as well. I'm very interested, and if we get a chance to talk to one of the coaches on a recruiting podcast, I'm going to ask him just flat out, what is the role for Dalen Soner? Is he more of a blocking tight end? Is he athletic enough to get out and catch? To me, I look at him, he's 6'7", 285. That's a monster tight end.
Yeah.
Monster. So... but yeah, I agree. One tight end. I think they go high school just because I think they feel comfortable enough with Chase Allen and Kolar that they can do high school. But it wouldn't surprise me if they get a chance for a stud on this, like a stud JUCO guy, if they go heavy on it as well.
I think if they keep going after these big receivers too,
yeah,
you could see some of those guys move over to like receiver positions later in their career, or not receiver, tight end, like late in their career or something. You know,
like who?
Well, I'm not saying like anybody specifically right now, but if that's the kind of guys they continue to recruit is those big receivers, and it's like, okay, well, maybe eventually he could be a tight end
if he gets thick enough.
Yeah,
well, shoot, after Lazard's freshman year, there was stuff on Cyclone Fanatic all the time that they should move Lazard to tight end.
Yeah,
they should play tight end for him.
Well, I feel like if you just are a guy that's, I mean, if you're gonna be like Chase Allen and he's a gonna be like a hybrid, like pass catching tight end,
yeah,
then he's pretty much a wide receiver anyway. You know, like you probably play closer to the ball on the line of scrimmage, but at the same time, you're still just you're running routes through the middle and stuff like that.
In today's game, a lot of tight ends are essentially wide receivers.
Yeah,
and that's what I think it was Jimmy Graham who was when he was trying to get his contract extension was trying to say, "Hey, I'm essentially a wide receiver. I line up. I need to get paid like a wide receiver, not a tight end."
Yeah,
kind of saw his point a little.
I mean, Gronk, like he blocks, but at the same time, he's just as dangerous if you line him out at the numbers.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's. I see Allen more passing situations. You get down in a goal line or a must run situation, you bring in Dalen Soner, and he has the opportunity to go out and catch passes, but he's still, I mean, you put him there blocking at 283. Iowa State's never had a tight end that I can remember blocking at 6'7", 283. That's a difference. Like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, definitely.
Iowa State used to struggle so much in those third and one situations, and I'd always go back and watch the tape, and a lot of times, it was the defensive ends blowing right past our tight ends and making the tackle from the side on those running plays, and we'd get stuffed. You put a Dalen Soner in there now, maybe you change it up a little bit. We'll see. Offensive line. Iowa State loses five guys next year.
Yeah.
Three of which are starters, will be starters.
Yeah.
Jake Campos, Dawson, and Rogers will all be gone. And then Sean Curtis and Robbie Garcia are gone. So I'm guessing, this is what I wrote down here. I think they go after three high school guys because they just did sign five high school kids this class. I think they go after three high school. I think they go after one JUCO, and I think they go after one grad transfer again. Try to balance the classes, because right now they're juniors. Kadenka, Wyndham, and Ogie have never played a snap, and I don't know. You can't trust them. They got to try to get some juniors and seniors, some guys that have played, like Campbell said yesterday, that you can see game tape of them competing at a higher level and, you know, some film on them. So I think they go after at least one more JUCO, one more grad transfer next year.
I believe that. We've talked about him before, but Trevor Downing is like going to be a top priority right there at the offensive line. So,
is he a four-star?
I think he's a three-star.
Three-star. But he's
pretty highly rated, though.
He's one of the top recruits in the state of Iowa.
Oh, yeah. I think he might be second best.
And he's out of Creston?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. His the staff was in Shenandoah to watch him play basketball last week.
Oh, basketball player. See, they have him as a tackle. He's only and then Rivals has him as 6'4", 270. Offered by Iowa, Iowa State, Minnesota, Missouri. So good offers right now, especially for a kid from the state of Iowa. But 6'4 is not overly. To me, that almost screams guard.
I thought the 247 had him as a guard.
They have him as a tackle, 6'5", 290. And they have him as a three-star as well. So, yeah. Obviously, right now, not that the ratings matter a whole lot. The John Wagner kid, who Iowa State likes a lot, too.
He's the number one kid in the class in the state.
He's number one.
He's the other guy that is in Sabian Clark. Those are going to be the three that are
Iowa State's going full on.
Yeah, they're going to go hard after them. Yeah.
Who's the okay? So
Downing's already been on. I didn't even realize this until I was writing. I wrote a thing yesterday about with like four names to know for the 2018 class. Anthony McKinney, that's another one at the offensive line. We've talked about him too, the Iowa Western kid.
He's gonna be a tough one to get.
Yeah, he's gonna be another guy that I think they're gonna be putting a lot of pressure on to try and get him in the class next year. And
that's the JUCO kid right there that can be a difference maker.
Yeah.
Boom, right away. And you can sell him. You can sell him and say, hey, we're losing Campos. You come in, you're a starting tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't ever want to promise someone a job, but let's be honest. He would be the starting tackle.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's crazy that those four guys are like going to be their top priorities. They're all from right around here.
Right here.
You know?
Which is nice.
Right at the back door.
I'm thinking here out loud. Lazard was the number one recruit in the state, I believe, that one year. But other than that, how many times has Iowa State ever?
Campos was too.
Campos was the number one?
Yeah, because I was looking this up yesterday. Do you remember when Paul Rhodes came into his signing day press conference and held Alan Lazard's letter of intent up?
Yeah.
And he gave his little speech about it.
Yeah.
And he says in there something about 2 years in a row, the number one player in the state of Iowa is coming to Iowa State. And Jake Campos was the one the year before.
I remember that.
That's my favorite signing day moment since I started coming to Iowa State.
You thought they're all going to be like that, didn't you? Yesterday was boring compared to that, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I can't remember who it was that was saying that. They're like, how much more interesting would this be if Campbell just came in and got all angry about something?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Campbell's been too happy lately. We need him to get mad at us.
Write a bad article. I think the thing that set Paul...
I can't do that.
The set Paul Rhodes off on that wasn't that Iowa kept recruiting Lazard or other schools were. It was how the media covered Alan Lazard committing to Iowa State.
I know what you want to say.
Hey, let's be honest. That's the truth.
Yeah. Did you see the video that Alan put out? Because you see the signing day videos they all did?
Yeah.
And you see the one Alan put out?
Mm-mm.
Well, it had that part of that interview in it.
Did it really?
Yeah.
So why Iowa State again? Huh? You really are going to Iowa State? No, but like seriously, are you going to go to Iowa State? You are.
Yeah.
But why? When the local media is doing that for a local kid.
Dude, I still think it was satire.
It was not satire.
I still think it was.
5 minutes of just complete satire? If it was satire, it was poorly done satire.
I mean, I
promise you there's not a lot of people out there that thought it was satire.
5 minutes of complete satire? Have you ever watched Sound Off? Isn't that what it is? It's like 30 minutes.
It wasn't Sound Off, though.
What was it on?
It was just the local news. It was like a 6 o'clock news.
It looks like satire to me just because of the way the cuts are like fast, like back and forth between their faces. That's like a comedy technique.
I haven't watched Sound Off since I was in high school. Cheezer calls in every week, and
I always let you know when he's on the line. Wow. It's one of those things when I watch Sunday Night Football, And then the game gets over, and the TV's just still on.
Yeah.
And it'll, like, keep going, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, sound off's on. And then I'll hear Cheezers calling in. I'm like, oh, I got to listen now.
I like what those guys do. I love Murphy. I love what they do. The calls and the fans, I just –
they don't take very many calls anymore.
They don't?
No.
Maybe I should start watching again then.
I mean, they'll take maybe, like, 3 calls a show.
I say that. I used to call in every week.
And one of them's always Cheezer.
Oh, yeah.
He called in last time to tell him that it was his birthday was coming up.
Oh, yeah. Went to the Kansas game for his birthday.
Yeah. That's what he was telling him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's usually the first one to call in. I think that he's on hold for 30 minutes. But Cheezer got a car again.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. So he's on the prowl. You see him in a white, like, 1987 Buick. That's Cheezer rolling around town. So Wagner, Sabian Clark, Trevor Downing. Iowa State's done a pretty good job, I would say, in all 3 of those, getting in early and staying on them. I don't know. Have you heard anything on Wagner? Iowa State have a chance in that one?
I haven't yet, but I'm going to keep working on that here in the next couple weeks.
Iowa and Iowa State have offered him. They've offered Downing. And let's take a look at Sabian Clark here. Has Iowa offered him? Iowa's offered him as well.
Yeah.
2 out of 3 for Iowa State there would be great.
Oh, yeah.
You get 2 out of 3.
Definitely.
So, and that just typically doesn't ever happen. Iowa usually kicks the crap out of Iowa State. Even the years when, like, Lazard or Campos would be number one, you look at the next 2 through 5, 2 through 6 guys Iowa's cleaning up. And Iowa has a lot of success with those homegrown kids as well. So hopefully Iowa State can, you know, get some more of them.
They did better this year even.
They did.
They didn't get the top guys outside of Orion Vance, but they still did better.
Who did they miss out on that they really were going after that they wanted from the state?
Nobody that I can think of.
I'm trying to think here. Dykstra.
Because they didn't really even go. I guess Dykstra they were in on a little bit. You know, like, they tried to get back in the door there. And then Oliver Martin came to a camp and they didn't offer him.
Yeah. And, you know, Michigan, when the kids are getting that many good offers too, that's a tough get. I think Oliver Martin's a star.
Well, I think that if they would have wanted to try to get into it back then, that was like in June.
Yeah.
And they decided not to offer after that camp. And that... I think the door was pretty much shut then.
Shut, yeah.
Yeah. But then he blew up over the next couple weeks.
Do you ever remember the state of Iowa having this many kids go play Division I?
No, this is probably the best. I've heard multiple people say this is one of the best ever.
Let's see here. Martin, Michigan, Wirfs, Iowa, Kallenberger, Iowa, Vance, Rocky Lombardi, Michigan State, Dykstra, Miami, Dewa. I've never heard of Levi Dewa before. From Mid Prairie?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's going to Iowa. And then obviously the next four guys are Iowa State. Devin Moore, Colin Newell, Jake Hummel, Kleinow. Jacob Coons going to Iowa. Peter Nink from Dowling's going to Miami of Ohio. Iowa's got another kid, John Nagel, Iowa State. There's a kid going to Kansas State, Drew Wiley from Vinton, Shelsburg, defensive tackle. Austin Shirk from Carroll's going to Minnesota. I mean, it's pretty impressive. And I think one kid from Van Meter just signed with Stanford.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a kid from Van Meter just signed with – I mean, it's – I've never heard of such
Stanford
a thing.
Stanford had, like, number 13 recruiting class, and they signed 14 people.
Dylan Bowles. I think Dylan Bowles – I don't know if he signed. He committed. Oh, it's a preferred walk-on. But still, yeah. I mean, he was offered by other schools, like East Carolina, Air Force. A lot of these schools offered him.
Did you hear me, though?
Uh-uh.
Stanford had, like, number 13 recruiting class with 14 people in it.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Wow. He's a heck of a coach, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a really good coach. Just a crazy, crazy year in the state of Iowa for football recruiting. Usually you see about 7 kids, I think, that are Division I, mm-hmm. you know.
So I think it gets close. I think it drops back to that range next year.
Probably. I mean, 17, 18, 19 kids. I mean.
Yeah. I think it might be a top-heavy one. You know, like, the best guys are pretty good, but then there's not near as many, like – guys.
I would agree. I think the top three guys here are pretty good. Although Oliver Martin, he was a legitimate national guy.
But that was just one guy. Well, and then Wirfs, too, was a Army All-American.
Uh-huh. And even Dykstra, I mean, he was good enough to get recruited all the way down in Miami.
Yeah.
So even though I think he only showed up at like 7th on the list for the state.
Thought he was 3. No.
I'm looking at 247 here.
Oh,
he was
okay.
Like, he was like 7.
Whatever. All right. Let's get through the rest of these positions.
Okay.
All right. Defensive. What do you got defensive end?
Defensive end. So Iowa State, the only person that they're losing is Wagner for next year. I think they bring in 1, maybe 2.
After they brought in 8 this year, they're sitting pretty pretty there.
8?
7?
Bailey Dominguez, which is a defensive tackle. So far.
Oh, I meant defensive linemen in general.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. you know what? Actually, this is what I'm gonna go back here. I think they go after one JUCO kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they go after high school. So I think two kids here is what they're going to do, because Leo would be a senior next year. Bailey will be a junior. So, you know, one more guy there to kind of bridge it.
If Jerrion Nelson came from Iowa Western, would he count towards – he'd count towards this class still?
I think so.
So, yeah, that could be – that's one.
That could be one right there. But I think the big name – we're still waiting to see how Carson Lensing and then Uwazurike.
Yeah, Uwazurike.
Yeah, I don't even – we need a nickname for him so that I don't butcher that every week. Those two guys.
Wazoo.
Perfect. So, but I think two defensive ends is what they'll probably go after.
Yeah.
They don't have to go quite as heavy. And then defensive tackle, I think they go after two kids. And because Liam is only a sophomore and Tongamoa is a junior, I think they can go after just two high school kids. Redshirt them. You agree?
Uh-huh.
The only guy they'll be losing after next year will be Vernell Trent. So they're only losing one guy in the defensive line. Linebackers. Only guy they'll be losing is Brian Mills after next year. That's a tough one. They can be.
I was
really
say picky. I thought you were all in on as many linebackers as you can get in the next class.
Well, no, that was this class I wanted, because I thought our linebackers were really poor this year. But I look at it now. Willie Harvey will be a junior. Regan Northrup a junior. Sutton will actually be able to play, and you bring in Orion Vance. Brian Mills is a senior. I think the linebackers will be okay. I don't think they're great. I think they'll be okay this year. More experience, another year in the system. I think they're fine.
So I'm just wondering who you're going to pick now as your guy that you use trash on all the time.
Stop. Those are for private conversations. We don't need to bring that up here. They'll go after one, two linebackers, but they can be selective here too, I think, because they've built up a nice little base at linebacker. Mm-hmm. And they, with the way they play the defense, they don't need a ton of linebackers.
Right.
Okay.
Defensive backs.
They'll probably try to bring in two or three. Two safeties and one cornerback would be my guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And then they got to bring in a punter. Dowling's a senior.
Is he really?
Uh-huh. He'll be a senior. Yep.
Wow.
And I don't know, do you use a scholarship on a punter?
Did you factor that into your 21?
That's my number right here, 21, yeah.
I'd say if you can get a really good one, then you should.
Yeah.
But not if you can't get a really good one.
Did you see Iowa State offered the number one kicker in the Coles camp, and I was watching some of
them. They did that last year, too.
And then the kid went to Alabama?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it was funny because Iowa State I can't remember if he was going to, come visit or what it was, but I remember I interviewed him. And then the next day, he picked up an offer from, LSU. And I was like, oh, crap, I need to write this story.
Yeah.
And I wrote it. And then literally a week later, he announced, I picked up an offer from Alabama. I'm committing to the Crimson Tide. And I was like,
peace.
Oh, okay. Good thing I wrote that story quick.
Alabama, they really struggled yesterday at their recruiting class, didn't they?
Yeah, no kidding.
Number one
in the country.
For the 8th out of 10 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
That's absurd. Absurd.
Well, it's funny. I was watching the Scott Van Pelt Sports Center last night. Another thing that you just watch if it comes on after something else.
I like Scott.
They showed the top 10, and he's like, yeah, pretty much the same teams every single year. Just have to flip the order around. It's like, well, not really. I mean, it's Bama 1, and then you can usually put Ohio State and Michigan somewhere in the top 5. And
Florida State
will be in the top 5. And
the big difference this year was Texas was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and then Georgia was in, the top 5.
Were they?
Yeah, I think they
Kirby
were number,
Smart.
Number 3. Yeah.
Look at him.
Oklahoma was 7, maybe. This is the ESPN one, obviously, but
yeah, that doesn't count. No one uses
it. It is weird that Texas was not. What do you think about Iowa State not signing any players from Texas? This is something that C-Dub was.
Yeah, I heard C-Dub ask the question. They had one that they had a commitment from, and then they departed ways from Cedar Hill.
They didn't. I don't feel like they really even put that much emphasis on going into Texas this year.
So I've been a big thing. C-Dub and I think, are in agreement on this. Iowa State's never really had success with kids from Texas.
Yeah.
You go look at it, they will go.
There's a bunch of people on Twitter that were all fired up about the fact they didn't get anybody from Texas.
You know, everyone looks at Texas as a big football factory.
It's like former players.
Were they really?
Yeah. There was a couple different ones that I saw.
Were they from Texas?
One of them was Oni. He's probably from Texas.
Oni Moly, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a good player. Yeah, he's a good player.
But no, I don't know if he was mad, but I just saw him make a comment about how they didn't get anybody from Texas.
And I don't think that's not going to be it. Here's the thing. They're going anywhere.
Yeah.
They're getting players from Georgia, Mississippi, California. They're
going to get the guys they think that they want.
And they recruited Texas. They just didn't get anyone from Texas. I said this earlier when we got the commitment out of the kid from Cedar Hill. When Iowa State goes and gets kids from that school, it's never a good thing because that area is so – every coach in the country is recruiting that area.
Mm-hmm.
And if Iowa State's one of the only Power 5 schools to offer that kid – he's probably not going to be very good because Iowa State's not seeing something in a kid that nobody else has seen because they've all watched the same kid play.
Yeah.
So that was always my problem with Iowa State going down and recruiting Texas and getting those kind of kids is, sure, they play competitive high school football, but they're not recruited at the national level. I'd rather get a kid from Iowa who, sure, maybe only Iowa State and, you know, Iowa have offered the kid. But there's not a ton, there's not 100 coaches coming and recruiting this state.
Yeah.
So you can get those diamonds in the rough a little bit easier than you can down in Texas. Iowa State had success in Florida under Rhodes and other coaches. Texas, they had a couple, but for the most part, way more misses. So I don't have a problem with them not getting in there. And I think one thing you've noticed with Campbell and the staff is they just don't care where they go. They're just looking for the best players to fit in their system for the holes that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shoot, you look at it 2 years in a row now, they are going out there, they're doing exactly what Fred Hoiberg did. They don't care if they're a grad transfer, JUCO kid. Hey, we have a huge hole in the offensive line. Let's go get guys however we can get them. So
the thing that I like is that it doesn't seem like they get caught like flat-footed very often, you know? Like if they miss out on a target, it's like, okay, well, there's already three more that, you know, that aren't graded that much lower that it's like we can just move on. You know?
Well, the best in it, Cam White's gone. Keontae Jones is in.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a backup plan for that. Or like Caleb Chandler. It's a backup plan, but
Caleb Chandler and Thayer Munford are out. All right, Jacob Bolton. Yeah.
Yeah, I was bummed. I still kept hoping that Ohio State was not going to offer Thayer, which they did, and he's there.
Isn't he gray shirting?
Is he?
I think so. I thought that's what I saw.
Still, I mean, if you're a kid from Ohio and you even get a gray shirt offer from Ohio State.
Alabama got a 4-star kid to gray shirt, too. He had offers from, like, everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
So, see, that's hard to compete with, man. The kid would rather go there gray shirt than go...
pay his own way.
Yeah. Well, does he even have to go there?
He does have to pay his own way for at least a semester or something. Yeah.
Can't they go for, like, a semester to, like, a junior college or something?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's interesting. I got a little bone to pick. I put this on Slack yesterday, too. You media members... you know, you get Coach Campbell there. You could ask him any question about any recruit in the country, and I have to listen to back-to-back questions over frickin' kickers. Kickers?
Well, it's because they got a transfer kicker.
And I'm pointing out Tommy Burch on this, because Tommy, I believe, asked the first question.
Friend of the program, Tommy Burch.
I love Tommy, so I feel like I can make a little jab here. But you can ask about any position, and we're asking about kickers.
I didn't ask a question.
Oh, man.
But I can't say I'm not surprised the question was asked. The kicker was there.
He pretty much came out and said, I would be very surprised if Owens was not the starting kicker next year.
Yeah.
Based on kind of just if you can read coach language at all. I mean, he likes the fact he's kicked in big game situations before. He struggled a little bit last year. But you know what? Look what they did for Netton.
Yeah.
Netton, I mean, minus the kick against Toledo. He wasn't too bad at his junior year, but obviously he had a little bit of shaken confidence. He was unbelievable for Iowa State his senior year. Unbelievable.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get the 10th assistant, which they're most likely going to whenever it passes with the NCAA.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's somebody that's in a special teams
capacity.
Like that Joe Houston, he's like a quality control coach right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't have anything to like back this up, but I think that would be something that would be something worth keeping an eye on. Like a full-time special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you have that extra assistant.
Interesting. All right, bud. We got to get going. I got to go over and do the fall cast right now. You got to give me a ride to
unfortunately
my car. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody.